Weight loss solutions are not one-size-fits-all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert-guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
These are the headlines for the year 2020. January 16th, the official impeachment trial for President Donald J. Trump for the obstruction of justice started in the Senate and ended on February 5th with his acquittal.
January 21st, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed the United States' first case. A Washington state resident became the first person with a confirmed case of the novel coronavirus having returned from Wuhan on January 15th.
January 26th, Kobe Bryant, daughter Gianna, and seven others die in a helicopter crash when their chopper encountered thick fog just northwest of Los Angeles.
January 31st, after years in the making, Brexit became a reality when the UK officially withdraws from the European Union.
February 2nd, the Kansas City Chiefs defeated the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 54, 31-20.
February 18th, the Boy Scouts of America file for bankruptcy.
February 24th, Harvey Weinstein is found guilty of third-degree rape and first-degree criminal sexual acts. These allegations initially sparked the Me Too movement 3 years earlier.
March, COVID-19 shuts everything down.
COVID. May 4th, Japanese giant hornets, nicknamed murder hornets, are spotted in Washington State.
May 6th, video footage of the murder of black man Ahmed Arbery by two white men emerges.
May 25th, 46-year-old George Floyd is killed on camera when a police officer detained him by holding his knee on Floyd's neck for 9 minutes.
More COVID. August 28th, beloved actor Chadwick Boseman, 42, best known for playing the Black Panther, succumbs to colon cancer, which he had been privately battling until his death.
September, the death toll from COVID-19 surpasses 200,000 in the U.S.
September 18th, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, who served on the Supreme Court since appointed by Bill Clinton in 1993, dies from pancreatic cancer at 87.
October 2nd, President Donald Trump tests positive for the novel coronavirus.
November 3rd, Joe Biden is announced as president-elect, but would not be confirmed until November 7th. President Trump does not concede claiming voter fraud.
December, the death toll from COVID-19 surpasses 300,000 in the U.S. These were some of the headlines that made the year 2020. And in 2024, thankfully, you're listening to XY Podcasts. I am Scott, Gen X.
And I'm Sam, Gen Y.
And you're listening to XY Podcasts. 2020 was the year of COVID. And if I remember correctly, it almost took you out.
It did. December of 2020. I was maybe 20 minutes away from a ventilator.
Yeah, sadly, you would have been one of many.
Yeah.
But talk about controversy for that year. So we had that Fauci dude. I definitely don't think he was as bad as, like, you know, Darth Vader, but he certainly, I think, at times deserved to be the lightning rod of hate. And I say that because even he himself said at the beginning, oh, you don't have to wear masks.
It was back and forth with him.
Well, later he said that initially that you don't need to wear masks because mm-hmm. there were only so many of the right kind of masks to go around. and he wanted to make sure that the medical professionals would have them. But then after that, he's just like, you know, everybody needs to mask up, which should have been, I think, the right information in the first place.
That could be why the courts really hounded him over it.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is, you know, definitely a guy who, you know, I know a lot of folks were like, you know, pissed at him and, you know, said that he's evil incarnate. You know, I don't know that I buy that. I think he was a guy who was tapped to do a job, and really, at the end of the day, didn't know what he was doing.
He's more confused than the president at the time.
He was. Yeah, well, and it's okay to say, I don't know, when you don't know. That's fine. You know, I know that people were in this time of crisis and the, you know, world shutting down. It's a world pandemic. People are, you know, they want to look to somebody who has all the answers. But I respect somebody more who says, I don't know yet.
You know, I mean, it was still foreign.
Yes.
So how would you have all the answers the same year it came out?
Exactly.
So, and I don't know, would have been very, I don't know. You know, well, it would have been acceptable.
Anybody who knows me or has worked with me long enough knows that if I don't know the answer to something, I'll be the first to say, I don't know.
Yeah, I say I don't know a lot. So
I got, although
you should know that.
I got in trouble with my wife today because I said, I don't know. She asked me to look at the lawn and said, is it long enough to get cut? And I had just got done working, and the only thing I wanted to do was take my lunch. So my brain wasn't ready to look at the lawn and determine whether or not it needed to be cut. I said, I don't know. It's not overly long. It's not long enough for there to be snakes in it. But
proper answer.
Yeah, well, because it wasn't. I mean, all was right. It long enough to, I guess it was long enough to cut. Well, it turns out it was long enough to cut because she called the lawn people anyway. And the family that does the lawn, they showed up and we're they're amazing, by the way. Like, we're just sitting there minding our own business. And all of a sudden you hear like three weed whackers and two lawnmowers going all at the same time. You know, it sounds like if you close your eyes, you could picture the Tasmanian devil like doing circles around the house.
Oh, nice.
And then like 15 minutes later, they're gone. You see like just smoke clears and, you know, the trucks are pulling off and the lawn's completely done. The hedges are trimmed and it's kind of amazing.
It's the one and done.
Yeah. And but I don't know that I knew that you were actually at death's door in 2020.
Yeah, it was crazy that year.
I do remember you saying that you had gotten COVID and mm-hmm. that you were sick, but I didn't know that you were actually kind of circling the drain.
My lungs are filling up really fast with fluid.
Gracious.
Yeah, I remember the night before, I had 104 temperature.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was like 104.2. And everything turned white. I just went blank. And I woke up the next day, and my ex said that I stumbled through the hallway, and I fell in the bed. And I sat up the next day, and it felt like somebody beat me in the chest with a hammer. And, you know, I called my dad. I said, hey, I need to go to the doctor. I need to, you know, this is bad. And I just fell over. Mm. He had to come in. He drugged me out the house. And my doctor said, you need to go over to the hospital, not just your family doctor. And they'll take care of you on a vent. And I refused it. I said, I'm not being put on a vent. Or it was more like, I'm not. That's how it sounded. And my dad came home with me. Get me 10 prednisone, said take them, and I think that's what saved my life.
Yeah, and I don't blame you for refusing the ventilator, because that was I think for a lot of people that was like the death knell. If you went on mm-hmm. a ventilator, there was a good chance you weren't coming off of it.
Right. Now, that's what scared me about it.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. But I am one of, I'm sure, many people that are glad that you came through it.
I appreciate it.
But I feel kind of bad that I didn't know. I And what's worse is you probably mentioned, and I was just like, he's exaggerating. He wasn't a Death Storm. That almost
Oh,
killed me.
no.
Right. But if COVID was taking folks out, I'm glad, glad God kept you around, because basically, from the sounds of it, you probably should have been gone.
Yeah, this sounds like I was, it sounded like I was very, very close to being gone. It took at least three or four of the people I worked with, it took their life. But I've had recent scans of my lungs and there's minimal scarring from it.
Well, that's good. But yeah, so that, I mean, that's, with the controversy, with there was still folks who were, I have a good friend who's an anti-vaxxer. So, I don't necessarily line up with, those views, but I can respect the arguments, that some of the, anti-vaxxers have. But
Right.
this the folks who were saying that, the COVID is about as dangerous as having the flu.
Oh.
Okay, that's I'll concede that point, but you have to concede the point that the flu can kill you.
Right.
If you make that concession, then we're on the same page that, it's kind of like saying, yeah, at that point, it's kind of like saying COVID is no more dangerous than 38.
Right.
You
I know, I was an anti-vaxxer. I was like, nope, I'm not doing it. It's not going to get here. It can't happen to me, you know? And then it happened to me and I got my vaccinations. I was like, yeah, that's not happening again.
Yeah, and like to, circling back to the whole mask thing, were the masks as effective as they were trying to make them out to be? I don't necessarily think so.
That's a toss-up, really.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing as like when you sneeze or you cough, you cover your mouth. Okay, that's a good idea. And I think that's kind of the the principle behind it. I think
Yeah.
if you're stopping, the particles from flying out of your mouth into other people's lungs, then that's probably a good thing. And then, masks can do that. Interesting bit of trivia. We actually had a set of masks made for the entire family by Claymore.
Oh, awesome.
She made us some very nice masks. I don't know where they are now. They're probably in a drawer, but they were, they were cloth, so that they were machine washable. And
Yeah.
she made one for the, she made one for the entire family. And that was very, very nice of her. I will never ever speak this nicely, by the way, about her where she can hear me.
People's got to understand our relationship with her.
Yes, it's no, I will never say anything nice to her or about her in front of her, but actually, in reality, she's really good people. In
No,
fact, they're,
I absolutely love that family there. They're great
yes,
people.
they're fantastic. There's some of the best people I've ever known in my life. And I'm that's no exaggeration. They are definitely part of the inner circle. But just please don't even breathe a word of this to her, because I'll have to then I'll have to spend like a half an hour treating her like crap. And she gives way better than she gets.
Was about to say she's gonna throw shade at you twice as hard.
Yeah, so it's one of those things that, and then she can she always takes my wife's side against me, and
Now
so
you got double on your hands.
yeah. But yeah, I like said the with the mask, I never understood, like, somebody, you see somebody driving in the car by themselves wearing a mask, or even like outside. I guess if you're like in a crowd of people, and you're in close
Yeah,
quarters, it makes
I can
sense
see
then.
that.
But like, persons like in the park by themselves, there's no one around them for hundreds of yards, and they've got the mask on.
Of course, they could have gotten so used to wearing it, they just forget that
That's entirely
it's
possible
on.
too. I tried wearing a mask because, I walk, and I tried wearing my mask while I walked, and I somehow managed to not pass out. But I was just like, I'm pretty much by myself. There's nobody around. I'm taking this off. I'll
I
put it
really don't need
on.
a sniff garlic right now.
Yeah, and that's something else too, depending on what time of day it is. I mean, if you have the luxury of being able to brush your teeth after every meal, then, you know, great. But, you know, after lunch, tuna be talking back to you.
You get that after lunch special going on.
And I'm like, oh, mercy. But, you know, I think it really does kind of boil down to the, you know, what I learned in kindergarten is probably the best policy. You know, you sneeze, you cover your mouth, turn your head. You cough, cover your mouth, turn your head.
Pull your shirt up, do something.
Wash your hands, you know, wash your hands before you make food, before you, you know, nothing wrong with a good fist bump, you know, instead of a handshake. That's completely fine. You know, touch elbows if you're so inclined, or you can just, you know, do what we do, what dudes do, just do the head nod. So,
yep.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you. With 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
That's my greeting.
Nothing wrong with it. So, since we were inside a lot in 2020, we were definitely consuming a lot of entertainment. Unfortunately, they were making less of it. So, we would come to notice, I guess, the following years, 2021 and 2022. I mean, they were still making stuff, but it's funny watching behind the scenes footage of things that were made in 2020 because everyone's like wearing masks and like they're in a bubble. But I was a bit surprised with actually how much stuff there was to consume.
Did you find yourself watching a bunch of YouTube shorts?
Yeah. And you know, now that I think about it in retrospect, that COVID probably did have something to do with that. Because I still watch a lot of YouTube shorts now. So yeah. It's probably a habit that I picked up from being inside and having nothing else to do.
I guess send like 30 of those a day to you.
Yes. The piano was pre-COVID. I haven't forgotten about that.
Dude, my brother sent me. I had to send you it. That was a when I saw it, I said, yep, I gotta send that to Scott.
That was that was vile. For folks listening, I apologize. I'm not going to tell you what the video was. Let's just say it involved a gentleman playing a piano. And he was quite talented. That's all I'm gonna say. If you want to know, write in. I might answer, but I'm not telling you on the pod.
That's more of a commented question or write to the P.O. box.
Yes, yes. I still have hopes that my mother might listen one day. Oh, by the way, let's say hello to France, Canada, Belgium.
France, Canada, Belgium, and Germany.
Welcome to the pod, guys, and thanks for taking the journey with us.
Much appreciated.
So I had some movies that I made a top 10 list of the flicks that I watched in 2020. And this was a little harder to make than I thought it would be. Not because there wasn't a lot of choices, but because there were more choices than I had remembered. Mm-hmm. Putting out my top 10 list, going relatively quickly. At number 10 was Bill and Ted Face the Music, which I enjoyed way more than I expected to.
That's the first one, right?
Bill and Ted Face the Music. That is the third one.
Third.
Yeah, because it was Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, then Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, where they go to hell, and then Bill and Ted Face the Music, which was actually, you know, released back in 2020, where Bill and Ted were old.
I watched the first one.
Okay. I mean, the first one, of course, is the best one. But this one was fun. And they actually even did a little bit of, used a little CG to bring back George Carlin. So number nine was Sonic the Hedgehog, which once again, I enjoyed that way more than I expected to. And thankfully they fixed Sonic, because if saw the preview, it looked like a blue blur. I don't know what.
He looks so angry.
It looked like the CG artists were like extorting money out of the producers. Like,
okay, we made him. Just change him. He can't look like that. Come on.
Do you have the footage? We want more money. Well, you get what you get. Oh, we can talk something. We can work something out.
Yeah, we're not trying to scare the kids.
Number eight is Tenet, which I think I probably enjoyed more than most people. But I love Christopher Nolan, and I thought that Tenet was just really well executed. And anytime you can actually crash a 747 into a building, practically, like just actually crash a plane into a building, that's a good movie. Number seven, The Gentleman. I really enjoyed that movie. That's Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
Although his character was actually very different from you know, that persona. He was a gentleman, but he was hard. I liked that movie. Number six was Sound of Metal, which was very good. I think that was on Amazon Prime. And I think it was up for a few Academy Awards. It's about a musician who goes deaf.
Oh, I'll have to watch it.
Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, which was on Netflix based on the play written by August Wilson. And it was Chadwick Boseman's last screen appearance. It came out after his death. And he was also nominated post-mortem, posthumously, for his role, and he did a really good job, but he didn't get the Oscar. One Night in Miami, which was directed by Regina King, which was also based on a stage play. It was a fictionalized evening in Miami with four real historical figures who were actually friends in real life, and they were Cassius Clay, right before he became Muhammad Ali, Sam Cooke, Jim Brown, and Malcolm X. Those four guys were friends in real life. And I think they did hang out in Miami, but like the script was just kind of, it was possibly conversations they might have had, or, you know, similar conversations, but it was actually just a fictionalized account. But it was really good. And Regina King directed the heck out of it. Yeah, it was, and it was really well done. Knives Out, which I enjoyed. It restored my faith in Rian Johnson as a director, because his last release right before that was The Last Jedi.
Oh.
Right. So, not that The Last Jedi was poorly directed. It just was directed to be what it was.
It was good.
Yeah, it wasn't nailed together poorly. It was just, you know, he wanted to subvert expectations, and I think there was, well, that's a conversation for another time.
Yeah,
I'm not going to get into agendas and start invoking Kathleen Kennedy, but anyway, Rian Johnson is and always has been a very good filmmaker, and Knives Out is an example of that. Number two is Greyhound, which is a World War II drama with Tom Hanks. He's a boat captain in World War II. It was really good. I think it was on Apple Plus. I don't know if you can still find it there or not, but definitely worth a watch. And my number one pick will surprise you, I think. But first, my honorable mentions. Extraction with Chris Hemsworth. Guns Akimbo, which I ex didn't expect to like as much as I did with
Same here.
okay, so you've seen it.
I've seen it, yeah.
The Invisible Man, which was kind of clever, and I think had a pretty cool ending. Trial of the Chicago 7, which was based on a true story, which is on Netflix. I think you can still find it there. And no surprise, Bad Boys for Life.
Which, good movie, great movie. I didn't understand the title.
Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah.
It, to me, I think they named it that because I don't think they were thought they were going to make another one. I think they were thinking that that was going to be it, because
Until,
that's what the title kind of implies to me.
yeah, I was thinking of the number four, Bad Boys for Life, and I was like, maybe that should have been the fourth title.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have said that. But my number one pick was The Hunt with Betty Gilpin, who
Really?
have you seen The Hunt?
I did.
I thought it was, I mean, the action, of course, was crazy, and there was some over the top violence, but it was a very cleverly written satirical script. That's what I dug about it. It kind of flipped the roles. It had the quote unquote conservatives and the liberals had kind of switched roles.
Yeah.
And a bunch of entitled liberals are hunting conservatives, and it's it 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 was su such a it was so self-aware. And then Betty Gilpin's character was, as best you could tell, she was a moderate. You know, she really didn't care one way or the other, but you know, she was this big badass chick who could fight, and pretty much does all of them in. But I enjoyed that movie way, way more than I had any business enjoying it. I just thought it was a really clever script, and I thought it was very self-aware. But those were my film picks of 2020.
That was a strong list.
Thank you. So do you have some flicks for us?
I do. I have a top eight though. In 2020, I was more worried about not being sick, I guess.
Yeah, not
So,
dying.
yeah. So I've played catch up since then on movies, but I have a top eight for us today.
Cool.
I'm gonna go from number eight, which is Spencer Confidential.
How was that?
It was really funny.
Who was the lead?
Mark Wahlberg.
Okay.
And I think it's still on Netflix. Double check. Not sure, but I think it is. Number seven, Doolittle, the one with Robert Downey Jr.
Okay.
That I never thought I'd see him play a character like him, like Doolittle. It's like you see this Iron Man, character strong and quick-witted, and then you
Go
have a pet doctor.
back and watch Chaplin.
Okay.
And if you can find it, watch Heart and Souls. Those are two of the best roles that you'll see a young Robert Downey Jr. do.
Really?
Yeah, I think he was nominated for Chaplin. And Heart and Souls was, he at one point ended up having to play Alfre Woodard and Tom Sizemore, because he could see these ghosts, and they were like four ghosts attached to him who I think died in a bus crash.
Yeah.
And at one point the ghosts could inhabit him, and then he of course had to act like the ghost, and he does a really fantastic job doing it. Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. as an actor is no joke.
No, he takes his role serious. He's one of my favorite actors. He's up there with what's his name? Gerard Butler. Speaking of Gerard Butler, my next one is number six, Greenland. Have you seen it?
I have not.
No? Yeah, see, that's a like end of the world type deal with not asteroids. Or yeah, asteroids. The meteor's hitting the Earth. And he's
Okay.
trying to escape with his family. And they get separated. It's just a really good movie. It's a good family movie.
Okay.
All right, this next pick, number five, Trolls World Tour. I watched it in theaters with both my girls.
I can't be mad at that.
Okay. Number four, Sonic the Hedgehog. You had that one on your list.
Yes.
Yeah. Number three, My Spy.
Ah, Batista.
Yep,
And I can't remember
Batista.
the young girl's name.
And Batista was my favorite wrestler in the early to mid 2000s.
I've always liked his acting. I mean, he's aware of his limitations, but as far as other actors who were wrestlers, he has less limitations than a lot of other wrestlers turned actors. Well, I mean, I
Right.
say wrestler turned actor. Wrestlers are actors, but
Yeah, it's like
they're
80%
athletes.
acting.
Yeah, they're just very athletic actors,
Exactly.
but he can play very sympathetic characters as well. He's got an impressive range, I think.
Yeah, and he's funny too. That's what's great about it.
Well, yeah, not just any actor could nail Drax. I mean, the role is deceptively simple. It looks like anybody could do it, but that timing to pull off some of the jokes written for Drax, you need good comic timing to pull that off.
Yeah, and what's cool is in 2010 they came to Knoxville, and I went to their WWE event, and I got to shake Batista's hand and John Cena's hand.
Cool.
Oh yeah, he is a big guy.
I'm sure,
Both
well,
of them
he,
are.
yeah. And I'll give Cena credit where credit is due. The first movie I saw Cena do, which was like, it was an independent movie about a wrestler, not a pro wrestler, but like a, high school wrestler, based on a true story.
Was it
S
a legend?
I don't remember the name of it. Possibly I'll have to look it up. I'll have to look up John Cena's IMDb page to find it.
Okay.
But as I remember, and I'm being harsh, Cena sucked in that movie in terms of his acting. What he can do now is night and day from
He can do anything now.
he's he yeah he's got I mean, I don't know if he was just phoning it in because, I don't know, somebody made him do it, or he didn't quite know how to let him, because he had been wrestling by that point. So like I said, it's not like he doesn't know how to act. I don't
Yeah.
know why he was, I wasn't really looking for him to do anything else at that point. I was like, "Wow, this guy sucks." But yeah, I don't know why he was so bad in that movie, but he's crazy funny.
I don't know why he was bad in that movie, but he put a microphone in his hand and stick him in a ring. He could eat up anybody.
Okay.
And number two, I also have The Invisible Man.
Okay. Yeah,
Yeah.
good movie.
And my number one pick was already it's Bad Boys for Life. It was the best movie of that year, in my opinion.
Okay, I won't argue. I did enjoy it. Like I said, it was among my honorable mentions.
And I did get to see the new one finally.
Okay. Gee, that was fast.
Yeah.
But Martin stole the show on that one. He
Oh man.
it was a worthy sequel, I thought. I mean, it was over the top in places where you would expect it to be, but I enjoy seeing those guys, especially now when they're coming back and they are older,
Yeah.
So for TV, I found the TV picks harder. For 2020, it was hard, because like not a lot of things premiered, but I did find five.
I think their focus in 2020 was on movies, so they didn't have to keep gathering for episodes.
Well, I mean, anything that would have been released in 2020, whether it
Yeah.
was a TV show or a movie, it would have been worked on in, 2019, 2018. They were, these things are prepped and shot, and then, the post-production takes place depending on the show. So,
Right.
anything that drops in 2020, there's not a lot that like is released in the year that it's actually completely produced. I mean, unless it's towards the end of the year. More so with TV, I think, once again, depending on the show. Not like, stuff like, The Mandalorian, or, the Star Trek shows, they're like shot, the principal photography is generally the year before, because there's so much post-production. My first show that was actually my favorite premiere of 2020, and I still love this show to this day. It's Upload, which is on Amazon Prime.
That's a funny show.
You watch it also?
Yeah, if it's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah, it's slightly in the future. The guy gets killed in a self-driving car accident, and his consciousness is uploaded to a digital afterlife.
Yep, that's where he's on the balcony and he's the other two people on the right side are talking to him.
And speaking of people who I thought like were not really good as act, I didn't really see Robbie Amell do a whole lot of stuff where I thought he was actually very talented. But I saw him in Upload, and I take it back. Not only is he good, he's really good in that show. Everybody's good in that show. But yeah, Robbie Amell is actually, he is definitely the lead of the show, and he carries it. But yeah, it's a very funny show. It's brilliant. My second choice was The Great, which is on Apple TV. It's actually a comedy series loosely based on Catherine the Great, and Peter the Great, and Elle Fanning, Dakota Fanning's little sister, plays Catherine, and Peter the Great is Nicholas Hoult. So The Great with Elle Fanning and Nicholas Hoult, and yeah, he's somebody who's really good, actually. I prefer to see him play good guys, but he plays bad guys really well. He's going to be the new Lex Luthor in the Superman movie.
Oh, that's going to be nice.
So number three is Space Force with Steve Carell and John Malkovich. Silly, stupid. Also on Netflix. I think they finished their second or third season. I only watched the first season. I've been meaning to circle back to it.
Watched the first episode of it, but didn't really catch my attention.
Yes, it's really kind of over the top, but I enjoyed it. But I'm a bit more nerdy that way towards space stuff, though. Speaking of which, my number four pick is Star Trek Lower Decks, which is the show for the nerdiest of Star Trek nerds, because it's animated, but it's just loaded with a whole bunch of inside jokes from people who have been lifelong Star Trek fans. If you're not a lifelong Star Trek fan, I don't really see people enjoying it if they're not kind of up on the lore. But you're more than welcome to try it out. I seriously doubt you will, knowing how much you love Star Trek.
And more of a Star Wars kind of guy.
Yes, we've discussed this. And then there's Snowpiercer, which I got into the first season of that. I've been meaning to revisit it as well, but it's based on the film of the same name. And the film was definitely pretty interesting. It was very dark,
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
but it
I
was
watched it.
very well executed. And what a concept. And among the honorable mentions, and the reason that The Mandalorian is an honorable mention and did not make the list is because it premiered in 2019.
Right.
So, but I had to wedge it in anyway. But you said you have four TV picks.
I do, yeah.
I'm curious.
Well, I'll start with number four, Alaska PD. If you
Okay.
watch any of the cop shows, it's the same concept, just in Alaska.
All right.
Number three, Street Outlaws, Fastest in America. Now they have Street Outlaws, then they have branched off series like one of them's. Fastest in America is the one I chose because the one that was released in 2020. But they also have like Fast Lane and the Quarter Mile.
Okay.
Yeah, illegal street racing.
I'm ashamed. My interest has peaked.
they get like crazy horsepower on these cars. One of the things said 1,200 horsepower.
See, and that's the kind of stuff that interests me.
Yeah, that's why I watch it. Stuff like that. I mean, there's wrecks and everything on that show, though. I've seen them go to the hospital, life start out. And number three, or number two, sorry, just did number three. Moonshiners, Master Distiller.
I could see me watching that show before you. You don't drink.
No, I don't. I don't drink. I tried it when I was younger and found out that I had gout, and it wasn't pleasant.
Yeah. I mean, mind you, not that I drink a whole lot of moonshine either, but I respect the process.
Right. Yeah, this one, it's actually interesting. They have it's like a contest. They have so much time to make a like 100% moonshine, and whoever's the best wins the reward at the
If you can send this car over this ravine.
end. Right. What's cool is the moonshiner show, not the master distiller, but the regular moonshiner show. One of the cast members live a county away from where I live.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And number one pick, I love this show. I've watched it three or four times, and I think they only made two seasons of it. Shack Life.
Really
Just
good
the.
p picks,
Oh,
because
yeah.
I mean, because I've not heard of any of these shows, which is cool about it. But now I got some research to do.
You should definitely check out Shack Life, though. It follows him around, him and his family. Reality show.
Like that brother needs any more money.
Right. What's cool is he does an actual like DJ and stuff at big concerts. DJ Diesel.
Yeah, I mean, you can't, I mean, if you had, never seen a basketball player before and perhaps met Shaq and only exchanged a couple of words with him, maybe dumb jock might come to mind. But not once you watch him for like more than 5 or 10 minutes. This is a guy who can do a lot of stuff. And I'm curious as to what his net worth is. It says that Shaquille O'Neal, along with Vinnie Johnson, are worth $400 million.
That's what I got.
Magic Johnson is worth $620 million, by the way. Jordan is currently, according to this, worth $1.7 billion with a B.
Wow.
Music. This will be quick for me because, as I mentioned, I didn't really listen to a whole lot of music in 2020, at least not conventional music. I turned on the Sirius XM and was listening to jazz and whatever that station is that plays the instrumental music for driving and so forth, and then just a whole lot of oldies.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I was listening to in 2020. I didn't really listen to music then. I was not worried about it at all.
But for the music, I do admit to liking Dua Lipa's "Don't Start Now." I thought it was nice and upbeat, almost kind of a throwback dance tune.
Yeah.
Also, and probably more so because of the video than the actual song, but "Blinding Lights" by The Weeknd.
I enjoy that song actually, but I like The Weeknd's music.
Yeah, he does his own thing, which I respect.
Yeah.
Another song which is going to definitely be more in my lane, "If Love Is Overrated" by Gregory Porter. I mean, you might like it, but it's definitely a ballad. It's for OGs like me. And then I know we've talked about Post Malone, and I think you like him more than I do, but I have a soft spot for Circles.
A good song. Don't know. I feel if you don't like circles, then something wrong with you.
And then my final pick, I guarantee you haven't heard. So during COVID, I started listening to a jazz guitarist named Chris Standring. And I went back and basically binged all of his albums as early as I could, as far back as I could find. But one of my favorite songs by him that was released in 2020 is Shake You Up. And
Okay.
he's a jazz guitarist from England. He has a good number of music videos out there as well. He does like to populate them with attractive young ladies. His style, you can definitely tell that George Benson was an influence on him, but he definitely has his own style. But yeah, I like his music. So I've got a thumb drive in my car filled with his music, and then another group called Hiroshima, Japanese American jazz group. So, but okay. those are my five musical songs from 2020.
Not bad. On this one, I could pick a top five as well.
Okay.
I just thought this was interesting. I don't necessarily like the artist, but this song was all right. It was Old Town Road by Lil Nas X featuring Billy Ray Cyrus.
I'll admit to liking that song.
What's interesting about it is Lil Nas X bought Billy Ray Cyrus a Maserati after this song came out.
Okay.
And number four, I have Sicko Mode, Travis Scott. He's more of a, I don't know, like a hype. Makes you want to jump.
Okay.
Destroy stuff.
Oh.
And number three, Godzilla featuring Juice WRLD by Eminem.
Never surprised when Eminem makes his way onto your list.
Oh, he'll make it every time if he came out that year. For sure. Number two is Rockstar by DaBaby.
Yeah, it was hard for me to keep passing that one up.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
It kept coming up every time I looked. It's like Rockstar.
And my number one pick, my daughter loves this song, and it hits hard in the truck too, is The Box, Roddy Ricch.
I'm going to have to play that.
Oh, yes. Yeah, definitely. Play that with your bass all the way up in your car.
Probably blow my speakers. I don't even know where my bass is. I think it's in the trunk.
Is that where they shove the bass cannon at, or?
I'm not sure. I've never been interested enough to look. And then that's weird because I've had the car for gracious going on 4.5 years.
Right.
But yeah, you know, I've never been interested enough to look. I don't like loud music. So it's which is one of the reasons why, even though I like going to see live music, but it's always loud. So it's never been a big priority. I don't mind sitting in the nosebleeds. If it means I get to preserve my hearing. Even if you go to see a jazz club play, you know, they're going to deafen you if you sit too close. So,
man, I had me and my daughter, we've seen Disturbed live, Falling in Reverse. What was the other? Plush. That was the opener for Disturbed. But talk about some music, man. I wouldn't care to go see them 30 more times. It'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't even know if there's anybody out who I would, am all that interested in seeing now. Like I said, since Prince died,
right?
He was on my bucket list until he kicked his own.
Oh, I saw Nelly live with Bone Thugs. That was interesting.
Yeah, I mean, I know, and living where I live, I've got no excuse. There's, you know, acts coming to town all the time. We've got some great venues out here. But, well, I think it's time to stick a fork in this one, brother, because we're done. So next year is on you. Can't wait to find out what it is.
I think I have it picked, but I'll let you know tomorrow.
Works for me. Well, do you have any message for the kiddies?
I do. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, and mail us a letter if you want to. Our post office will be in the description below. And I have something inspirational for you this time. Your imperfections will never be a problem to the people who genuinely love you.
I like that. That's some gospel there.
Preach it.
Because our friendship works because I put up with your faults.
Exactly. 100%.
I know you do the same for me.
100%.
If I had any.
If you had any. Come on now.
All right. With that, much love for you, brother. I'm going to say X.
Why?
See you later. And we're out.